Yeah.
Lovely. Okay, so Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. That is page 694 in the Church Bibles. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
So our next reading is from Luke, and it's on page 1025. So Luke chapter 1, starting at 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
And the last reading is from John chapter 1, verses 14 to 17, on page 1063 in the Church Bibles. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, 'This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.'"
The mince pies. I was going to say mince pies. The Brussels sprouts. Anyone else love Brussels sprouts? Quite a few of us. Yeah, to be honest, I wasn't a huge fan. When I went to university, one of my friends went off to go and buy some peas and came back with a kilogram of sprouts. And so rather than throwing them away because we're students, we had like two or three with every meal. So we learned to love them. So I love even Brussels sprouts at Christmas. That's my story. But when I think of my love of food at Christmas, it came from visiting my nan as a kid. We'd pop round for afternoon tea, you know, that British thing we say, afternoon tea, where, you know, we're thinking light nibbles. But around my nan's house, it was far more of a banquet. There was just food everywhere. And you'd grab a plate, and you'd go up to the banquet, as it were, the nibbles, you'd load it up, you'd sit down, and then 2 minutes later, nan would be like, "Back to the table, come on, there's loads of food here, can't have it go to waste." And so you go back to the table, and you go again, and again, and again. She's like, "Tim, you're so thin, just keep going, keep filling yourself up with food." And I tried, I really did, but it didn't happen. But anyway, we were always encouraged to go back for more and more. Now I'll start there, because for tonight, for this Christmas time, as we remember the coming of our Lord Jesus, I want you to picture him, if you can, like a banquet. But Jesus, not kind of full of food. No, he's full in a different way. If you've got a Bible, hopefully it'll appear on screen again. But just one of the verses that Jane read for us, John 1 verse 14, says this. It says, the Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Now, there's loads in that verse. But just really, just for a couple of minutes, just want us to really chew, if I can use that phrase, just to chew on this verse and think about Jesus being full of grace and truth. I want you to encourage you, as it were, to grab a plate, run to the banquet of Jesus, and to be filled with grace and truth, because he is the one who's full of grace and truth. So firstly, let's just think about that word grace. Grace is a word that's kind of bounded lots around Christian circles. If you come to church, spend any time in a church, you'll hear that word a lot. And grace means undeserved kindness. It's when a person or someone is treated well, even if they don't deserve it. As I managed to watch The Grinch this Christmas. Anyone seen The Grinch film? Just my kids. I know a few others as well. If you haven't seen the film, the story, the Grinch is someone who grows tired of the joy that Christmas brings to the people of Whosville. And so he makes a plan to go around on Christmas Eve, kind of the anti-Santa. He goes around Christmas Eve and he steals all the presents and he steals Christmas trees, anything Christmassy that might bring joy, and he runs off and he takes it. He steals it for himself. Yet, long story short, just to ruin it for you, by the end of the film, after he's done that, a little girl later invites him to celebrate Christmas with her family, which he does, and he has a good time. You see, here's a moment of this girl who shows great grace. The Grinch who stole Christmas was invited to share Christmas with this family. He didn't deserve to be treated like that, and yet he was. Now, in a much bigger way, the Bible says that we've treated God in a Grinch-like way, as it were. We've stolen or we've taken the good gifts that God's given and often ignored him entirely. And for this, the Bible says that we deserve to be rejected from him, to be banished from his presence. And yet the encouragement of a verse that's on our screen is that Jesus is full of grace. The encouragement of Christmas is that we celebrate the birth of a Savior. The angel said, call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, as we come and land into Christmas tomorrow, you don't need me to tell you that Christmas is a time of year when sin is often elevated. It's seen in greed. It's seen in the arguments over presents or at mealtimes. It's seen in the brokenness of the world around us. And yet this verse encourages us that when we sin, we can grab our plates and we can run to the banquet of Jesus to grab the grace we need for forgiveness for ourselves by trusting that Jesus didn't just stay a baby, but that he grew up to die on a cross, to take the punishment we deserve for our sin, for the things that cause a blockage between us and God. That is our greatest need. But we don't only run to Jesus for the grace of our own forgiveness. We can run to Jesus to grab the grace we need to forgive others as Jesus has forgiven us. We need his help to do that, don't we? But at Christmas, we also need grace in other ways, don't we? I often think of my nan at Christmas time, but she went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. And Christmas can be hard for lots of us as we kind of look around the family table, perhaps, and we see people that were there a few years ago and now are no longer with us. And yet in the heartache of this, we can be encouraged to know that Jesus is full of grace. He sympathizes with us in our brokenness. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, and he will supply us with the grace we need to face the brokenness, even at Christmas time. Jesus is full of grace. Will you run to him and experience that grace for the first time or just again and again? Like me at my nan's house growing up, grab the plate, run to the table, get the grace that's needed. and do it again and again. Jesus is full of grace. That's the first word. The second word, truth. Jesus is full of truth. Now, yesterday, my family shared our first Christmas crackers of this year, but they weren't all filled with jokes. Some of them had Christmas true or false questions. Okay, so I thought we'd try some tonight. Is that okay? A couple of true or false questions. Here we go. True or false? The first artificial Christmas trees were produced by a toilet brush manufacturer. True or false? I'll read it again. The first artificial Christmas trees were produced by a toilet brush manufacturer. Do you think that's true or do you think it's false? Okay, this is a bit even. It is true, apparently. It's a bit disgusting, isn't it? Second one. In 2010, the USA ate more turkey at Christmas than the rest of the world combined. In 2010, the USA ate more turkey at Christmas than the rest of the world combined. True or false? Yeah, I think most of us go, yeah, it's false, it's false. There's a few were like, yeah, the Americans have eaten all turkey. No, they didn't. They were shared a little bit more than that. Well, last one. In the Czech Republic, the number of people at the Christmas table must be even. Is that true or is that false? In the Czech Republic, the number of people at the Christmas table must be even. Apparently, it's true. So I don't know what they do for if they've got odd number of family members. They just have to get the neighbour around quickly to sit down for the meal. Now, these questions, and now like these questions, our world declares many things to us that are true. And I haven't looked at all those stats up, so maybe it's not true, but that's what I read in the crackers yesterday. But like that, there's lots of truth that's just presented to us. In our world, we have kind of your truth, my truth, and truth seems to be up for grabs a lot of the time. And so it's hard to navigate. Is this true what's been said, or is that false? And sometimes it can be a bit confusing. But simply, I just want to point us to the fact that our verse points us to the fact that Jesus is full of truth. In him, the Bible says, we find ultimate truth, and particularly truth about our world, our truth about our sinfulness, and truth about salvation, how we can be made right with God. This is something the gospel writer John traces throughout his book. And if you haven't read John's gospel, then let me encourage you to grab one. There's some three on the desks just out through those doors. But why not grab one afterwards to have a little read through? But this idea of truth is something that John comes back to again and again. And the reason he does is because it's something Jesus spoke a lot about. So later on in John's gospel, John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. So he's speaking, firstly, that our barrier of sin blocks us, but the only way to have access to God is through him alone. There's no other person, no other name, no other one by which we can be saved. Towards the end of John's gospel, at the trial of Jesus, Pilate asks, there's a dialogue between Pilate and Jesus, and Jesus says this to Pilate. He says, the reason I was born, so the reason for Christmas, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone who listens, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. You see, lots of people make claims to truth. But if you haven't recently engaged with Jesus' testimony to the truth, then you must. Let me urge you to do that. Jesus was a man who always spoke with grace and truth. He didn't flatter people, nor was he rude. Jesus speaks the very things of God to the heart of the human and to all who will listen to him. He is full of truth. See, this Christmas time, will you listen to Jesus, the one full of truth? Will you at least engage with what he says? Maybe as an adult, you haven't engaged with what Jesus says. Will you this Christmas? Not just let it pass by, but will you actively listen to what Jesus says? Will you let his truth dictate how you live, what you say, and where you go? Jesus is full of grace, and he's full of truth. Let me read this verse one more time. It says, Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This Christmas, will you grab your plate, will you run to the banquet of Jesus and experience the one who's full of truth, full of grace? Let me pray for us, and then we're going to sing once more. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Christmas. Lord, we thank you so much for family, for food, for the fun, for films, for presents, and all the things that we can enjoy. But we thank you most of all for our Lord Jesus, the Word who became flesh, the one who came from heaven to earth, the one who is full of grace and truth. Thank you that in him we see the fullness of these things. Lord, please, this Christmas time, wherever we're at, whether Christmas is going to be difficult for us, or it's going to be full of joy, we pray that we'd be those who run to Jesus for grace. And would we be those, Lord, who run to Jesus for truth? Lord, in our confusing world where truth seems up for grabs, Lord, please would we come to the one who says, this is truth. The one who is truth. Lord, we pray these things, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.